Welcome once again to another episode of Demand Gen Radio, the one program that brings you all the latest methods and technologies for driving growth and increasing demand. With the voice of Demand Gen, David Lewis.
All right, welcome back once again to another episode of Demand Gen Radio. I'm your host, David Lewis, and here is where we talk about the methods and technologies for driving growth. Today, we are going to talk about brand and branding, and my guest is very passionate about the topic, as I am. And what's really interesting, as many of you know, as you're listening to the series, we are spinning up our own marketing department within BDO Digital, and brand and the brand identity is a topic that is very near and dear because we are talking about it right now within our group and meeting with the heads of our global brand standards out in Europe. So I will have a lot of opinions and thoughts and questions for Trinity, and let's dive into the episode. Trinity, good to see you. Hello.
Hi, Dave. Great to see you. How are you?
I'm very, very well. For those of you who don't know Trinity, we met many, many, many years ago when Trinity was on the marketing team at Integrate and was really just getting Integrate going and on the map. And I'm sure a lot of you, if you've been in the MarTech community a while, know Integrate and know their success in the market. And it was really fun, Trinity, to watch the brand evolve over time and you guys take it more and more seriously, not only in the identity of the brand, but in the messaging and how you really built a large community passionate community of game changers. So kudos to you and Scott and the team there. But I want to ask you first, where'd your passion come for branding, and with your new company or relatively new company, Doorway Creative, really focused on branding and helping companies establish their brand? Where'd that come from?
I consider myself actually an accidental marketer. And I was with Integrate from day one when we launched in a sales role, rolled into marketing when we got our Series A funding. And so laid all of those pieces of a marketing foundation, right? That typical sales enablement role, corporate communications, took over digital and our website and social. And then about 2016, maybe 2017, we decided to redo our brand. Didn't really know what that, quite what that entailed. You kind of go into that thinking that, oh, are we changing our name or we're going to redo our logo? But as you start to dig into redoing a brand, it's so much more than that. Yes, it's the logo. Yes, it's the name. Mm-hmm. But it's really all the touch points that make up that experience, right, that someone has when they interact with your company and your brand. And it, just the process of diving into that and really starting to own brand across all channels and how it fit into content and customer experience and events and onboarding and retention and all of that. It just it was one of those light bulb, those aha moments when you stumble onto something that is just a super strong fit for you, that you're super passionate about. It lights you up in a lot of ways. And then when I left Integrate, I went, joined a small agency and did a lot of branding and go-to-market work with some wellness and sustainability companies, cannabis companies, nutritional supplements, and continued to build those muscles and realized that that this was really my home and kind of the place that I wanted to stay in my career. So recently, I have co-created an agency called Doorway Creative with a friend, focusing on strategy, brand, and websites, and really just bringing the culmination of all that work I've been doing for the last 5, 6, 7 years in the brand vein, but building on a 10-year career in marketing. Nice. to help other companies tackle this brand issue.
When you engage with clients, I kind of want to talk through the process. Do they already have an established brand and you find that there's a desire or need to change it or evolve it? Or are these companies that are just really establishing themselves in the beginning?
A bit of both. More often than not, companies, they'll slap a logo together, something that they've created. These days, folks can create their own logo in Canva or some sort of, online logo generator so that they can go to market and, start making their first sales. sometimes companies will be in the fortunate position where they're going through those planning cycles before they ever launch. That's a really exciting place to be, because you can help kind of set the foundation from the beginning and create that that strong North Star through the brand. But oftentimes what has happened is that they've been in market with that sort of, you know, slapstick logo that they threw together. They've maybe gotten some investment dollars, or they're going after a new funding round, and they know that their current brand and, digital experience and all of that just is not going to cut it to take them to the next level.
First brand I ever created was for my DJ business way back in the day. This is in the 1980s. And by the way, I'll give a plug. I'm sure Jerry Bruckheimer and the rest will like it. In the 80s, 1986, when Top Gun came out, and I was mentioning that I just saw the new movie, Maverick, and really liked it. I thought, you know, almost 44 decades years later, that they just did such a great job extending the brand to a movie 40 years later. And they carried the brand identity, I think, throughout the story, but also evolved it with new technology and new flight sequences that back in the day, we never would have been able to film any of those. Cameras were just too large, and we just didn't have the tool sets to kind of make that immersive experience. So it was very top of mind when I was watching it last night and thinking about our podcast today. And like Top Gun and that whole movie was a brand, and it helped establish and further establish certainly Tom Cruise. But to your point, which you've mentioned to me many times, you have to carry that brand experience through everything. And I think that the people who produced that movie, created the movie, now marketing the movie, are doing just that. It's a good example on the B2C side of that. But let's talk about from a business, because when I was doing DJing and I needed to get a business card, because that mattered back then as a way for people to get in touch with you, because there was no email and other things. It was just your phone number. I called it Audio Unlimited, and I didn't really think very much to the name, and don't even know if it mattered back then, because it was really about reputation. But the unlimited part was, people would ask, you know, what type of music do you play? And I'm like, well, I can play any type of music, which really turned out not to be true, because I gravitated to certain styles of music and certain types of venues. So maybe a misnomer. Talking about these companies, do people get it? Like, when you talk to them about the brand identity, do most people think of it as like just the logo or the name?
A lot of people still do. They'll think of it, you know, we need a brand. That means they need a logo and they need a name that they can slap on an invoice or on a website. But more and more, I think people are getting it. We've seen a big shift too over the last 10, 15 years, where it's not, you know, When I first started on this excursion of brand, the agency that we were working with at the time asked, you know, what does a brand mean to you? And his grand answer for what a brand meant is that, a brand is a promise, right? It's a promise of the value that you're going to deliver to people. And that that really stuck with me. And that promise piece has become so much more important. Where, you know, your brand really starts even before your logo or your name or any messaging, with your promise, your purpose, your commitment, your, you know, why we exist as businesses in this world. Because it is not just to add value to shareholders, right? Mm-hmm. The Milton Friedman doctrine is dead, right? It's no longer just about how many bucks can we put in our investors' pockets, but it is about adding value to all of your stakeholders. And so that really makes the purpose piece and the promise piece of the brand conversation so much more important.
Let's get a little bit to the how you do it. But as I said, we're dealing with this right here at BDO, which is interesting because the BDO has been around for 100 years. 100 years, one of the five largest professional services companies in the world. And yet BDO Digital has only been around for a couple years and was created and established as a wholly owned subsidiary of BDO. So we are BDO Digital. I'm actually a partner in BDO, but the organization and group that I spend my time focusing on and bringing to market is BDO Digital. So our employees of BDO Digital right now have a BDO email, not BDODigital.com email. We had one website, and we had basically subdirectories of the main site. We're standing up our own website. So as part of our marketing strategy, Mia, myself, and the team, all of us working on this, we're looking at how we go to market and revisiting decisions that were made previously to help take us to that next level of brand building, brand identity, and delivering on the promise of what the brand is. So to your point, we're thinking about the website, the email addresses. Yes, we're thinking about the logo, but also our messaging. And those are just the beginning touch points and experiences that we're looking to create. Taking a step back, you know, when we created Demand Gen and integrated in Demand Gen, we're working together and you and Tiffany would plan events together. Lots of discussions about what the brand experience would be like for that event as a joint event that we were all producing together, because the event in and of itself established a brand over the years of doing things at all the different MarTech conferences. And we wanted people to always think whenever they're going to the conference, hey, where's that party going to be? We want to go to that one. That's always the late night event. It's always at a cool venue. These are the type of people who go there. So even an event can have a brand identity, much like the Academy Awards after parties, like the Elton John party, the red carpet party. So you can brand anything. You can brand yourself, personal branding, which you are doing. We can talk about the look and feel of your set, if you will, the items that you've selected to have in the background, as I have done. You can do corporate branding, and you really can brand really anything, even a pet, right? That doesn't even matter if it's a human being. So how do you take someone through the experience of thinking through those things?
You know, we start by focusing on the why, right? The purpose, like why did you start this thing? You know, what is it that you, the grand value and impact that you hope to have at the end of the day? It's not about selling gadgets or bits and bobbles, right? Really understanding the team, the individual motivators of the executive team, why they're in the space doing the thing, the industry, the gap that they're filling in the industry, the problems that they're solving for customers, what customers need, really understanding that emotional reason that will cause people to buy or support or advocate for a particular brand. And you know, also making sure we understand the big picture of the market, right? What is this space? What are all the other folks in this space, all the other players trying to do? How are they trying to do it? What can we learn from them and combine all of that in this, you know, secret recipe that's going to drill into a purpose that feels natural and true and relevant and be kind of our North Star as we move forward?
Yeah.
And then getting into, you know, mission and values and then starting to think about the personality of the brand. How do we want to make people feel?
Yeah. You talked a lot about, even before you think about the customer, maybe not before, but as importantly as your employees. And so many employees, especially the millennials, really want to make sure that they're connecting to an organization who has a sense of purpose and mission. And I would love to get your perspective on that, because you've emphasized to me before how important that is.
Well, and it you know, ties back to the whole benefiting all stakeholders, right? So we now think about not just adding dollars to our shareholders, but how we're impacting customers, employee, societies, investors, the whole gamut of stakeholders. And so what we see is that you know, there's some great studies out there. The Edelman 2022 Trust Barometer has a lot of data about the value of purpose. And we see that, you know, about 60% or more of employees are choosing the companies that they work for based on the company's beliefs and values, right? And it is driven a lot by the millennial market, by Generation Z, as they come into, you know, more into working age and graduating college and taking those early positions, that they're looking for to have alignment in their lives, to feel like the companies that they're working for, that they're giving 50% of their waking time to, are doing something meaningful in this world. So when we can, you know, strike that magic recipe in the brand and the purpose and create that for folks, we see that employees are more satisfied, they're more engaged, they're more loyal, that lowers recruiting costs, you know, increases in retention in the long run. So it has a lot of benefits on the human resources side as well.
Let's talk about personal branding, since many of the people in the Demand Gen Radio and Demand Gen TV community are probably listening and thinking about their companies and maybe those brands that are already established. I have always been equally passionate about personal branding. And there's a lot of people that I look at in the world who do it exceptionally well. And I want to get your take on the importance of it. I'll start off with a little like personal perspective, which is I get joy by bringing joy to others, which is a very kind of like symbiotic relationship that I have with people. One of the reasons that I started the podcast in the first place is I wanted to give marketers a platform to tell their stories and enjoy their stories, you know, talking about them together. But I look how I am with pets. I look how I am with kids. I look why I coach soccer, why I started the business that I did 15 years ago, why I sold the company within the last year, and all the things that I do, even from DJing. I get joy from giving joy. So my personal brand, what I want, you know, people probably to connect with is, you know, bringing joy to their lives. And I'm not sure I've ever said that to anyone other than you and the folks listening, but I don't have any brand identity that supports this passion or purpose. And I'm wondering, you know, for you who has a business and many other individuals, personal branding is really, really important if it connects to the business that you're in, right? I have friends like Dave Savage over at The Mortgage Coach, and his personal brand is about mentorship and coaching and helping people reach the best level of performance. It's also what his company helps people do. So there's a direct connection there. But what are your thoughts about the importance of a personal branding and how intentional you should be around that for folks listening and just maybe people who haven't really thought about their own personal brand, dress, act, talk, backgrounds in their Zoom and Teams calls, things like that?
You know, I think it just makes things easier. It makes it, when we have a personal brand and we take the time to define that and learn how to reflect that in the world, it makes it easier to feel like we're living a life that's in alignment, right? Where we're true to who we are. You hear all this, you know, talk about imposter syndrome and, you know, all these, the importance of authenticity. And that's, I think that's what it's really all about. Learning how to capture who you are, reflect who you are out into the world so that you feel no matter where you go or what you're doing, like you're always true to yourself. And so that you're always adding value to the relationships with other people in their lives, right? It doesn't necessarily surprise me, Dave, to hear that adding joy to people is a big motivating factor for you. And if you were to have a personal brand, would be part of your personal brand. I think every interaction we've had over the last, you know, 8 years or so has been purely positive. And you kind of walk away from that feeling better, whether that was just us engaging with each other at a conference or hosting an event together or something to that effect. Just always walking away with that, wow, that Dave Lewis is a really great guy. And that's what people get from a personal brand, right? They start to feel like they know you, and you become the person that they think of when they, you know, something comes up. I know a friend that's looking for, a marketing agent. Back when Demand Gen was just purely doing systems integrations and implementations, right? Mm-hmm. I think we sent a group of folks your way because they were looking for an easy process so that they could get their systems up and running and it be, you know, kind of smooth and reliable, and that they could have a good time along the way. So.
Yeah. Work hard and play hard was definitely part of the company's brand elements, because, you know, we know how challenging marketing is as a function and how hard everybody works. So we made sure that we were together at dinners or events, we wanted to provide the opposite experience, you know, the contrast of hard work to be met with really fun times. And that's, it's an interesting brand strategy, right, to be so intentional with creating those experiences. It's fascinating to hear what, you know, your perception of me, and I'm glad you walk away feeling like Dave's a good guy. I've noticed over the past year just how many people have reached out to me looking for jobs. I really could probably be a full-time recruiter, helping people find people, as well as helping people land new opportunities. Evan Kent, who I just reconnected with after a little time, said to me after a little call that we did a CMO roundtable, and he said, hey, I'm looking for somebody. And that was great. And I've had a number of others that have reached out that are looking for people or thinking about making a change. So something I'm doing in terms of career coaching and connecting people is having people come to me for that, something maybe I'll lean in more about, because I certainly love helping people find great talent out there. Let's talk about dress and how people show up. Did you think about, I talked about your set, what I see in the background. Did you think about what you have in the background? And if so, I'd like to talk a little bit about it.
Absolutely. I kind of agonized over it.
Did you? Okay.
For sure. And you know, I agonize over the details, and I think that's part of the magic that I bring to the work that I do, because the details matter, right? From the color of the clothes to the stone that's in the background, to the picture on the left side, you know, they all say something, and they all connect to who I am and the energy that I'm trying to put out into the world. Mm-hmm. And I think that
what do they represent? Take me through it, because you put thought in. I knew enough to ask the question, and you didn't know I would go there, but I can see it, because I can see it, and it's intentional, but also at the same time, it's intriguing to me.
So I am, little known fact, I'm a certified feng shui consultant. And so I'll start with that piece, because when I dig into my Chinese astrology chart, Chinese astrology gives us so much information about ourselves. My money element is fire, right? So that's the element in my life that helps me bring in and attract money. So that's why you see the burgundy, the red chair, okay, the red hair, the red headphones. My opportunity element is wood. Now, when we talk wood in feng shui, it's not dry, dead wood. It's green, growing wood. So opportunity element is the thing that helps people remember you. So that's why we've got the, you know, green in the clothes, the green on the table back here. My personal mission in life, my personal vision, you know, since I was 18, has been to transform the way people see the world. And so then, you know, that's when we start to get into things like this citrine cluster, this heart cluster here. You know, number one, it's one of the most recent gifts from my husband, and boy, a man that is great at gift giving. My husband, nice. Absolutely, just picks phenomenal treasures that I, you know, will treasure for the rest of my life. But this citrine cluster, you know, is about raising your vibration, keeping your mind open, keeping your heart open, it being heart-shaped even more. So helping me speak from my heart, helping people approach conversations with their heart open. And then the owl for number one, gift from my mom, but number two, just the wisdom that's inherent in that animal, and you know, being a symbol of our higher intuition and connecting with our higher mind. So we bring our mind and our mind and our heart together and create just this wonderful synergy. So that's a little bit of what we've got going on there.
I like it. It's so intentional, and I have all the stuff in my background. I'll go through it quickly. And I think, you know, for everybody listening, first of all, if you're not seeing us, you can go to demandgen.tv, and all the podcast episodes that we do, we put up on the YouTube channel as well. And I know that the majority of our listeners just listen to the podcast because they'll be driving, walking, exercising, what have you. But since we are talking about our sets, I wanted to do that. And I do say set because I want to encourage everybody to be intentional with what you see through the lens, because we spend so much time there. So I've got this little multicolor thing right there. There's a bunch of stacked foam blocks that have different colors. And that was from the Discovery Insights personality test that we all took in our organization. And those are my different colors. And I think you guys did that at Integrate at some point as well. There's a book, The Fred Factor, right behind there, written by Mark Sanborn. Mark and I are good friends, and he has spoke at our conference. And it's a book about being extraordinary. And so I have it there, and I see it all the time. Our Inc. 500 award, which is one of the most, you know, the award that I'm probably most proud of receiving back in 2011 for the organization when we were really growing so rapidly. And it taught me that you can have a vision and a dream. And if you work hard enough, you can realize that. So it's a reminder. Then I've got the on-air and the microphone, my very first podcast microphone, and I kept it instead of throwing it away to remind myself of where we've come with the podcast and also where we started. And then I've got all the superheroes, which, you know, great mix of superheroes. Got Wonder Woman and Black Panther and a lot of Iron Man stuff. I even have Darth Vader up there. And just, you know, I really love the story of Darth Vader, of how he, you know, found the dark side and what brought him there, and great reminders and lessons from all that. But those tie to the mission of the Demand Generation Group, which is making marketing heroes, and a reminder to me that there's many different types of heroes, and the role that we play as mentors and coaches to help them achieve that status. So it's all very, very intentional, and up above my whiteboard is the a gift that I received from my team early on. Everybody signed it. And so it's the old original Demand Gen logo with a bunch of signatures. And so since I am looking, you know, at the team's calls every single day, not only did I try to create something that was a nice, nice set to look at, if you will, but and very important reminders for me. And I would encourage everybody to really think about what is in that square that your teammates see or your prospects see every single day. And if any of you want tips, I always get compliments, Trinity, on my microphone, my camera, my lighting. I did make some videos for the YouTube channel about what I used. That was a while ago, and things have evolved and things are less expensive. But if any of you need some pointers or tips on that type of stuff, feel free to drop a comment on the YouTube channel or ping me on LinkedIn. Because I do think, as part of the personal brand, you should think about what's behind you, and you should think about the tools that you're using to represent yourself. And I struggle with anyone who doesn't have a good camera, because that would be like showing up and having stuff all over your face. And you would never do that in person, to have yourself not really represented well. So why would you slack off if you're doing that digitally?
Absolutely. And it, you know, it's amazing what you can learn about folks when you start to pay attention to the details.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Where, let's say someone's relatively new to a marketing department, maybe a marketing leader, CMO, there's always that tendency to come in, and I see a lot of marketers want to change the logo or do a rebrand or update the color palette. I know Demand Base just did that, and I see John executing very, very well. Vin was at Sales Club this week, one of their top performing salespeople who I've had, Montana, on the podcast, and he's making, you know, videos of his experience at Sales Club. And I see the Demand-Based branding carried throughout all the different touch points that he's experiencing. And he's an employee. They certainly didn't have to go to that extent, but they are. And so John has rebranded Demand-Based. When should companies consider a dramatic rebrand or new logo?
I think when they have a couple of scenarios. If they have reached a point where they're feeling stagnant, they're simply not hitting their growth goals, there seems to be a disconnect, you know, they're struggling in areas like customer retention, high customer acquisition costs, you know, struggling to generate demand. That's the wonderful thing about a strong brand, is that it makes every piece of generating demand easier. And then the other place where we see it happen a lot is, like I said, if they're getting ready to go for an investment round, or they have just closed an investment round, and they really need to accelerate their growth and step up their game. Those are kind of two times where it becomes very important. You know, sometimes you see companies like Facebook rebranding as Meta so that they can try to outrun a legacy. That's not necessarily the best way to go about it, because there are bigger problems than your logo and your name. Those are the couple of scenarios that I think are really when you ought to consider it, when you're just not getting the traction that you need, or you really need to accelerate the traction that you've been getting.
You went there with Meta. So let's talk about it. I'd love to get your perspective on that. Do you think they're doing it for the right reason? I'll let you weigh in wherever you want to go. But what's in my head was it for the right reasons? How are they executing against it? You know, those things, which can be, you can have different points of view on those things.
You know, I think that the reasons that they share versus maybe the real internal motivations, there might not be true alignment there. My guess is that rebrand was really an attempt to help them outrun some issues and some public fire and, you know, perceptions that had been built over the last decade or so. And because of that, I think they're going to continue to struggle, because it wasn't the brand that was the problem. It was the values, the real operating principles, the culture underneath, that really was the problem. And if you're not willing to tackle those issues and really make sure that you're clear on your purpose, that your purpose is infused throughout every aspect of the organization, that your culture is in alignment with who you say you want to be, the way you recruit people, the way you treat people, the way you treat your customers, the way you protect your customers, the way you protect their privacy and their data. If you're not willing to do that really hard work, your logo and your name doesn't matter.
I'd love to hear other people's opinions if they want to drop a comment. I remember when Apple was Apple Computer and they dropped Computer. I thought at the time, I think a lot of people didn't notice it because they just called themselves Apple and they weren't just a computer company anymore. Made sense. I think Facebook is doing a good job with the rebrand, if you will, and that they're carrying it across all the different touch points. So I'll give them kudos there. I own what used to be called the Oculus Quest 2, my first virtual reality goggles. It's now been branded the Meta Quest, and they've changed the logos and the boot sequences and that type of stuff. And because they're going all in on virtual reality and the metaverse, you know, if that's where you're going all in and 17,000 of their employees now work in that group and a lot of investment, probably makes sense that they're calling themselves something that they feel is better branded for where they're going as a company. But I do agree with you that the timing and maybe some of those things had to do with, you know, what the brand Facebook was standing for, and that they saw, you know, declining market and maybe some declining favorable thoughts around the brand identity, and it was time for a change. So probably a whole bunch of things went into it, but it seems like they're executing well.
And I will admittedly being very critical there, right? And simply because that was a platform I left for almost 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Just because it's such a polarizing experience.
Yep. My daughter just announced on Saturday that we're having a grandbaby. Well, that she's having a daughter. And she did put it up on Instagram first, followed by Facebook later. And I was wondering, is she going to put that on social media, you know, to that extent? And I don't know if she's done anything on her TikTok channel. I very quickly, since she announced the name, I quickly went and registered the domain because never know. And I felt as grandpa, that's
brand the baby.
Brand the baby.
So awesome.
Yeah, coming back to personal branding. Well, love the conversation on it. I hope everybody listening, I hope you guys are thinking about your personal brand, how you show up, everything from your clothes to your attitude, to if you're on Zoom and Teams calls on the regular, how you show up there. Go off camera if you need to eat or you need to take a break or you just don't have that kind of presence that you need to have so that you don't take away from your personal brand on those calls. We could have a whole episode on really how to conduct yourselves during virtual calls, because that is certainly here to stay. Trinity, you're helping small businesses and medium-sized businesses. I'm glad you're getting a lot of passion from what you're doing. We'll make sure we leave your contact information in case anybody's needing or seeking help in that area of branding. And I'll keep you abreast of what we're doing here with our whole brand journey at BDO Digital, because it's exciting to have a legacy, large, multi-billion dollar company that is establishing new brands. And so many companies have had to go through this process. When Microsoft launched the Xbox, they were very intentional about removing themselves, Microsoft, from the brand identity because they didn't want any association at that time with the game platform because they didn't feel that the target market they were going after would want to buy a Microsoft Games device. They wanted them to be. So there's times to remove your brand as well from new product introductions, which is amazing.
Absolutely. And, you know, with respect to the process you're going through at BDO Digital right now, when you have 100 years of legacy or even just a few years from the digital arm behind you, it is that much harder to undertake the work that you're taking. And so, you know, just a deep appreciation for all the details and all the I's and you've got a dot and T's you've got a cross and you know, thinking about how to retain that equity with your customers while warming them up to the new BDO Digital, whatever that looks like.
It is by far the most complicated branding project that I've ever gone through in my career as a company that I work for, and I'm really enjoying it. It is so complex, so many different moving parts. You know, we're a global company with all these different almost franchise-based organizations where these decisions, you know, will have an impact or could have an impact at a minimum to them. So we have to consider, you know, across the entire world, a global brand initiative, even though you know, the work that we're doing initially was to focus on what was needed here for our business, which is US based, but, you know, expanding to all the different groups across the globe. Very complex. And again, if anybody's tackling projects like this or wants help from a branding perspective, you can always drop a comment and we'll get you connected to resources, myself or whomever, to help you. But it's a fascinating topic of marketing, branding. It's wonderful. Well, thank you for joining. Stick around. I'll be right back. To all of you, thank you so much for tuning in every week to Demand Gen Radio and Demand Gen TV. I really, really want to appreciate all the outreach that you guys have been doing recently to me. Strongly encourage you always to subscribe if you haven't already to the podcast or on the YouTube channel. We do make episodes for you guys every single week, so that way you can get notified. And if you're on YouTube, make sure you click the little bell, and then you'll see a little alert when a new episode like this one pops up. That's going to do it for this episode. Love to hear your thoughts about branding, personal branding, corporate branding. If you want to weigh in or your questions, we'll catch you guys on the next episode. Take care.
You've been listening to Demand Gen Radio, bringing you the top industry experts, thought leaders, authors, marketing technology firms, and senior marketing leaders from around the world to teach you the methods and technologies for high-performance marketing.